I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Christiansburg, Virginia. Master Gardener Beth Umberger.
We're in Christiansburg, Virginia, at Montgomery Museum Garden. I live in Christiansburg.
And I understand you're a master gardener.
And also a master naturalist.
How'd that happen?
Just happened. I like to learn.
You've always been a naturalist, then. When you were a kid, you had a fascination.
When we grew up around here, you went barefoot in the summer, and you were outside all the time. Even in the evening, you'd be outside.
How did your life progress?
Went to local college, Virginia Tech, and then I got married. We lived in North Carolina for 2 years, and my husband went to Duke, and then we went to live in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn? Wow.
My husband loves jazz, so that was a great opportunity for us. He did an internship, and so that worked out really well. And we ended up staying there for a while.
But you came back home?
Yes.
When did you come back to the county?
1975.
And what brought you back?
The mountains.
Uh-huh. The Blue Ridge?
Yes, yes.
So you just couldn't resist. You were drawn back.
Yes. If I was going to raise a family, I would like to raise it here. Oh, we loved Brooklyn. It was really hard for us to leave. It was harder for us to adjust coming back than it was to go in the city.
Oh, interesting. Why did you like Brooklyn?
Well, the people were great. There's lots of cultural things to do. The restaurants, all the cultures you learn from. It was always stimulus. Didn't have to have a car. You could ride the subway.
Right. Yeah. So you came back in the 70s, and you kind of reacclimated. And then what did you do?
We were foster parents to at-risk kids for a while. Then we had our own kids. I did a little bit of homeschooling, substituting, working in garden centers, working in child care. Ended up doing this garden.
Plants are what ultimately got you, putting your fingers in the soil, huh?
Everything I've done with kids, I've always done something with plants, yeah. My first public garden was in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, really?
The hospital I worked in.
Oh, cool. Tell us a little bit more about your gardening here. What you focus on?
I focus on native plants because we're losing biodiversity. 40% of our insect population has decreased. That means, and the bird population too, because the birds depend on them to feed their babies right over there. The bluebirds are busy gathering caterpillars. So they need the host plants. 90% of our insects depend on native plants. And so if you don't have the native plants, you don't have those insects. So the garden is full of host plants for those insects.
Interesting. It's implicit that part of your mission continues teaching and interacting with kids. I know that you have to bring kids out here.
Well, I'd like to do more kids, but we mostly do adults. Our mission as a master gardeners is to provide best practices and information, and also master naturalists. Master naturalists, we deal with everything that's native to Virginia. Salamanders, birds, snakes, plants, the whole nine yards.
And you guys get together and brainstorm and...
Yeah, we stay really busy. The master gardeners are very active and throughout the community, doing lots of volunteer work. And they have vegetable gardens in schools. They have one of the things we're doing in the garden is called Grow a Row. So we're incorporating in the native garden where we grow vegetables to give away. We did that during COVID. We cleared out two beds and grew some vegetables. And if we get the opportunity to work with kids, yes, we do.
And you have teaching seminars and sessions that you do?
I have done some teaching how to grow natives from seed, but I do a lot of tours throughout the garden and tell people what we're doing and show them the insects that are in there. The big thing for the museum is Heritage Day, and there are a lot of children that come. Then we have children's activities, and we show them there's insects that are in the gardens and tell them their life cycles, and they really find that interesting.
What are you working on right now?
Well, we're doing paving. I'm trying to bulk up the number of native plants so we can, because when insects use plants, they need more than just one plant. So I'm trying to do that and increase the diversity of plants that we have in here.
And how about butterflies?
Butterflies, we don't see as many as we'd like to. We need to get more plants in here and also try to get maybe the neighbors to try to grow some of these plants and make corridors. That's all around the county and all. They're working on native habitats. So if we can connect those through corridors like walking paths or through waterways, then the insects will have ways to use those corridors, and then we have more of them in our yard.
How about birds? You get involved with migratory birds at all?
Yes, we have a lot of birds here in the mountains that nest in the mountains. The bluebirds are nesting right over there. We really have a lot of birds. And we also have near here about 40 minutes away, there is a place where people go to watch hawks migrate. And also, as they were doing that, they saw dragonflies migrating and butterflies migrating way higher. It's up on the edge of a mountain. So we have things, a lot of things that migrate through here.
You know, I knew about bird watchers. I knew about butterfly people. Then I realized they're dragonfly people. That's their whole life. That's their specialty.
And sometimes they're the same person.
Right. Rio Grande Valley, they were saying, is an evolutionary process for some. They'll hit their life list and check off every North American bird. Then they move on to butterflies. Then they go through that, and then they move into dragonflies.
And we are very unique here because we have a northern populations and southern populations that meet here, like overlap with some of the plants. Mm-hmm. But we also have, we're one of the hot spots for salamanders.
Oh, yeah. And in Tennessee, the national park, I think there a lot of them there.
Yeah, that's the part of the Smoky Mountains you're talking about?
Yeah.
We're very fortunate where we live that we have all that.
Yes. Do you have the really interesting, the flies that...
you're talking about hoverflies? Oh, I have a friend who's really into hoverflies.
Really?
Anyway. Yeah, so the hoverflies are, that's the cirrhids, and they're some of them are common, but they eat aphids, and a lot of people don't realize that they're actually not bees, that they're flies.
So they're helper.
Yeah, they eat aphids and stuff. So if we don't spray things, if we just leave nature alone, it kind of balances out. Mm. And that's one thing we do. We're excited when we see holes in our plants. If we see a circle in a red bud, that means the leafcutter bee. It makes a little circle, it rolls it up like a cigar, stuffs it somewhere, puts and lays its egg with pollen and nectar.
Oh, wow.
I know. When you learn the life cycles. And when you learn that, when you teach kids, like there's a wasp that emerges in August for Heritage Day. Mm-hmm. It's called the digger wasp. And that wasp parasitizes the grub in the ground and lays its egg there. And then it emerges in August. They don't emerge till August. And when you show kids that and tell them that, this one little boy said, "Can I pet it?" Because it doesn't use its stinger to sting you. It uses its stinger to parasitize its prey. So then the life cycles, if you can just get kids to hear those life cycles, they change. And parents listening sometimes are pretty surprised too. So
And how about the little flies that they have the lantern, they light up?
Oh, the light bugs. You don't have lightning bugs out in California.
No.
No, we do here.
Over in Tennessee, there's that place where they learn to synchronize their flashing.
Yeah, and it's another problem we have because we have light pollution. And we're having huge development around here. And that light pollution doesn't just affect the lightning bugs, but it also affects moths because they orientate themselves by the moonlight. And so if all this light, that's why they go to them, they get confused. That's not good for to have all that light pollution. But yes, we're very fortunate we have lightning bugs.
They're really cool.
Yes, and they're called glowworms. You heard the little song, Grow Little... Because they're in the ground, you can find them, and those little larvae will glow too.
Really?
Yeah.
How cool. How about a couple of your other favorite that people kind of miss, don't understand?
Well, honeybee is not a native bee, but we have a lot of really, really cool native bees. And one of my favorites is the cutleaf bee that I told you about. Instead of collecting pollen on its legs, it has hairs on underneath its abdomen, and it collects pollen there.
Oh, that's really cool. So you have fun in the garden, don't you?
Yes. I'm a volunteer, and if I'm not having fun, I'm going home.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of friends in the garden.
Yes, that got us through COVID. It was really wonderful. Yes, we could work outside together, and we make friends because there's people who come live in our community. They have grandchildren or something, mm-hmm. and so they join the Master Gardeners and Master Naturalists, and or just join the museum and help with volunteer. So, yes, we get to know a lot of people. Friends in the garden.
What's in your museum here?
Well, it's art, and also we have the historical things. Right now there's an exhibit about the funerals, and then it's in an old bank, so they have, for the art part, they've taken the deposit box and people have made little tiny miniatures in the deposit box, and they change occasionally the different...
That's the history museum that was a bank?
Yes, yeah. And it used to be here, and so they changed the exhibits quite often. They've had some about the trains, because that's a big part. We had a wonderful photographer who had a lot of pictures in Life magazine. He has a museum in Roanoke. They had an exhibit on him. There's a guy that came and speak to us about things that happened in Floyd with the lumber company and how they did that, and just all kinds of things about our history that some of us don't know about, you know, so it's kind of...
Going way back to the Civil War.
Before the Civil War, you know, the people that came here learned from Native Americans too. They were like apple butter and made apple butter. They made all their own stuff and stuff. And they used a lot of native plants. They knew how to use the native plants.
So anything else you want to share?
We'll talk about history. We have, after the Civil War, a Union soldier started a school for the black community. And he was also one of those people that was to make sure that the blacks were treated correctly. So for 30 years, he had it up on Hill Street here. And it was they taught Greek, and they had a lot of classical learning. Then he was going to have to turn it over to somebody else. Booker T. Washington came here. And Booker T. Washington was born in Virginia. He came here. Tuskegee is where he had his school. And he's helped them start, encouraged them to do technical. Those children were very well trained, actually better than some of the, and we have good schools, better than some of the schools that they integrated into. They were very well versed and have gone on to do many things throughout history that are important leaders in the community.
That's really cool. To learn more about your world here, do you have a website?
Yes, the Montgomery Museum has a website, yes. And they have a Facebook.
And your name, your full name?
Elizabeth Sandy Umberger.
With a Z.
With a Z.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.